T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a special KMOX sports presentation. Welcome to Chili's Week in Hockey.
In front of the net, the Nyquist, and they've scored. Carlson on the doorstep puts it in, and the San Jose Sharks win in overtime. 5-4 with 14:37 to go in overtime.
It might be a hand pass here, Curbs.
Yeah, but if they didn't see it, they can't review it.
Well, we weren't playing handball, were we? So we're playing hockey.
Well, what do you guys think?
Yes.
Okay, then don't ask me. There's no reason to ask me. I have nothing to say about it.
Vladimir Tarasenko, he will come in on the penalty shot. Comes in, he shoots,
oh,
he
baby.
Scores! What a shot, glove side! 3-0 Blues bring out the Zamboni. Jordan Binnington records his first ever playoff shutout as the St. Louis Blues win 5-0. They take a 3-2 series lead and come home for Game 6 on Tuesday night in St. Louis with a chance to move on to the Stanley Cup Final.
Well, that doesn't get your juices pumping. I don't know what will. Welcome in Chili's Week in Hockey. Alex, Amy with you, and we are jacked up, folks. Game 6, mañana. That's right, I switched to Spanish. You didn't hit the SAP button. Mañana, Enterprise Center, 7 o'clock puck drop. Chance for a Stanley Cup Final appearance. I just blew your mind, didn't I, Mark Scores?
Yeah.
I blew your mind.
I'm speechless.
Mostly because you didn't think I could speak Spanish.
Nope. I mean, you're doing pretty well with English, all things considered.
What do you mean pretty well?
No, I mean, we're looking at history on so many different fronts right now. Whether it be the team itself with their franchise record 11 wins, you look at the performance of rookie goaltender Jordan Binnington and the numbers that he's put up. And I know we'll look at him later on in the show and talk about that more. But there's something special about this team, not just because of the playoff wins, not just because of the rookie goaltender, but you look at where they were. You look at how they got here, how they came together. There's, again, this squad has something that stands out as remarkable as it is intangible. And I've got to tell you, Alex, I'm excited and I feel good about it.
You go back to game 3. Reminisce for a minute with me of that hand pass.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the hand pass, but being down, scoring, and then San Jose getting another goal to make it 3-1. You take that team back to December, Amy, they're done. It's over. A team that gives up a goal after scoring a goal and then loses because of controversy of officiating, that team collapses. This team, and I don't know what it is, but there's something special about what this team does. You never feel like they're out of a game. You never feel like they're going to lose a game. You always feel like there's another special moment coming. And it's been that way since the end of January. And right now, the Blues are attempting to do something that hasn't been done since 1970. Like, let that sink in for a minute. This franchise started in 1967. There were 6 other teams, I believe, at the time, right? 6 other teams, Blues and an expansion
and then
team.
The league doubled to 12.
The league doubled to 12, but it was 6 at the time. They come in, 12, you make it to the Stanley Cup Final. Make it again.
Never
go back again until 2019, possibly.
Yeah. You know, every championship team has not just one story, but multiple stories. There are a handful of extraordinary narratives that are woven into a team that does something as extraordinary as win a championship. Now, I know the Blues aren't there yet. They're not in the final yet. They still have a job to do. But there's so much more to a team that drives deep into the playoffs, that gets a chance to play for a championship, than just having a good roster.
Mm-hmm.
Few championships are won because simply they had a good roster. There are narratives, there are intangibles, there are obstacles you have to overcome. There's always a story. This team has so many stories.
Yeah.
Look at Craig Berube. I mean, you mentioned, let's go back to that hand pass. Those players moved on from that hand pass by the time the media got into the locker room after the game.
Yeah.
They were focused on, one, game four, and two, what they did wrong. They said they should have won that game in regulation. That game should have never gone to overtime. They were focused on what they needed to do to improve, to move forward, to be better. And they were better after that game. In game four, they held on to a one-goal lead in the final minutes of that game. And as nerve-wracking as it was, they managed to do it. And then in game five, they were even better. They
yeah.
absolutely dominated the San Jose Sharks.
I feel God in this Chili's tonight.
Exactly right.
Exactly right, isn't it?
That's exactly
I'll say
what
this
I'm
too, that, you know, going off of what you just mentioned, the storylines with this is just incredible when you talk about the numbers that the Blues have put up and the offense that has turned around, the defense that has been put together, and the goaltending that's been doing what they're doing. Look, it's not going to be easy. San Jose Sharks, their backs are against the wall. They've played well with their backs against the wall despite the controversy that surrounds them. They were 3-2 trailing the Las Vegas Golden Knights, fought back to win that in 7 games. They fought back to beat the Colorado Avalanche in 7 games, and now they're taking on the Blues in an elimination game. But there is an update from San Jose. Pete DeBoer will not disclose or has not disclosed if Erik Karlsson, Tomas Hertl, or Joe Pavelski is traveling with the team. So we'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out if they'll be in the lineup. But again, regardless of what that lineup looks like, got a good feeling about what this Blues team is going to do. So here's what we got for you tonight on Chili's Week in Hockey. Next hour, Judd Surratt of Boston, the play-by-play man for radio, joins myself and Amy. We're going to get the Boston perspective because they've been sitting around for a while. So we'll get his thoughts on what's been going on with his team. And, of course, this series, we'll chat with Big Walt. Keith Tkachuk joins us at about 8:30 tonight. And coming up in 4 minutes, the favorite on Chili's Week in Hockey, Chili himself. I guess I should say Joey himself of Joey's Week in Hockey. Joe Vitale joins Amy and I next on KMOX.
Now, back to Joey's Week in Hockey on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back in on a Monday night, Alex and Amy with you on the eve of Game 6. Does this feel like Christmas Eve to you?
Yes, this is the eve of the biggest game in St. Louis Blues.
Every time I use the word eve, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm reading Shakespeare.
Really?
Which I've never read Shakespeare.
I didn't think you did.
The heck does that supposed to mean, Amy?
You know who hasn't read a lot of Shakespeare?
Who's
Our
that?
Our next guest, Joey Vitale.
Look at that segue, Joey. She insults you and you haven't even been on the air for that long. Oh, hold on.
Or at all.
I think he just hung up on you because he's sick of hearing from you. Joe, you there?
I'm here. You hear me?
I got you. What's it feel like to be insulted by Mark Scores and not even be on the air for more than a minute?
I don't care. I stopped listening to her about 6 months ago. What's funny about Shakespeare is you never think of Shakespeare as like a kid. Like, you always see Shakespeare as an adult in the paintings yeah. with the beard and the earring. And you know, but at one point he was like in second grade, right? I mean, at one point he was in English class.
Yeah.
And his professor was like, why are you talking like that? Knock it off. Am I right?
You know what? This is actually
Joey, this
profound. And you're right, because his teacher was probably saying, that's not a word.
Joey, Amy just wrote on her notebook that said that might be the studious thing he's ever said in his life.
It was very profound.
So, thank you. But, you know, he went against everything that was supposed to be taught, and he was an outlier. And look at it. I'm like a young Shakespeare.
You are, actually. And, you know, since we're talking history, I mean, why not live a little in the past?
Vince Dunn just looks like Paul Revere chopping down an apple tree. That's not, it wasn't Paul Revere, was it?
How's that make you feel, Joe? How's that make you feel?
Just when I started feeling good about myself, you guys know exactly how to humble me.
So Joey,
that was a hard moment.
Joey, we've been receiving texts, we've been receiving tweets from Blues fans, and they really want to know the true answer. Were you not at Game 5 because you were just sick of listening to Amy on the broadcast, and you said, you know what, Curbs, I need to take a day off from her?
I did get that.
You know what? I didn't miss a game all season long. I was like, you know what? Game 5, Western Conference Final. I think I might just take this one off. Yeah, I thought about just missing in. No, truthfully, you know, I had a small minor procedure I needed to get done. Everything is fine. Everything checked out well, but it was something I couldn't let hang around any longer. And with the Blues continuing to win the way they were, there's really no time for it. But I finally got to squeeze it in on Thursday. I called the game Friday. Wasn't quite myself. Didn't feel right. The narcotics got me a little loopy. I don't even know what kind of game I called, to be honest with you. And then the doctor said, hey, no flying Friday and Saturday. So unfortunately, I missed that game, which was a great one. But I'll be there tomorrow night.
That's all that matters, Joe. And we're glad to know that you're good.
You were day to day. And
yeah. Craig Berube told you that it's an upper body. Sit it out. And we'll throw you in Tuesday night. Plain and simple.
Exactly. And, yeah, that was funny. Like when we were in Dallas, Jim Montgomery was asked about a player. And he said, how is so-and-so? And he says, yeah, it's upper body. And the reporter goes, has it changed? And he goes, nope, it hasn't moved. It's still upper body. So, I mean, along those same lines, yes, it's upper body and it will be upper body. But all is well, and I will be there tomorrow night.
That's awesome, Joe. Well, I'm sure you're pumped up just like we are to get this one underway. But let's just start because we haven't talked on Chili's Week in Hockey since last week. And, of course, the Game 3 outcome, the hand pass that so many people were talking about. But, Joe, what impresses pretty much everybody in St. Louis is how they took that moment and they threw it behind them moments after they called that game an end game, and they focused on Game 4 and Game 5, and from then they've dominated.
They have. And I think, you go back to the comments after that Game 3, after the hand pass, and, we've seen it so much. I think about the Vegas Golden Knights when they kind of got the shaft in Game 7. And, of course, their season's over, so you can understand they're probably a little bit more emotional. But, the players' comments were, it was a terrible call. We got screwed, this, that, and the other. And then you look at what the Blues said after that game, and again, the frustration. We saw Braden Schenn smack his stick, Jordan Binnington visibly angry after the game. And then you get to the locker room, and all the comments were, I'm not going to talk about it right now. We're moving forward. The next day, same thing. I really think that it stems from this coach and Craig Berube. I think the players really have taken on this guy and his attitude, his preparation, and it really is all about that next game. I remember we were in Dallas after Game 6. The Blues entered the game being down 3-2 in that series. They win Game 6, the force Game 7 back in St. Louis. And I remember going to the bus. I don't know if I told you guys this, but if I hadn't watched the game, I would have no idea who won the game based off of after talking to players and Mike Van Ryan outside the bus waiting to go to the airport. This is just that mindset of the team. They're always just focused on the next step, the next win, the next game, next shift. I know it's cliche as it is, that really has been the mindset, and you saw what happened in Game 3. They were already worried about Game 4. Their focus had shifted. They were going to get rest. They're going to have a good regroup day, and it came out in Game 4 and 5 and play some terrific hockey.
Joey, in this series, 11 different Blues players have goals, 16 different players have points, and you look at the fourth line is carrying just as many points as the Blues' second line. What do you think of the depth of this team right now?
I think it's incredible. I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome. I don't know exactly to pinpoint why exactly it's happening. It's coming together. I think that, at the third round, by now, the Sharks had played two rounds before us. They've gone the distance in both of them. This is that round where you really start to see players either really take off, or you see teams looking tired. The San Jose Sharks, they look tired. They look exhausted. They look weathered. They look emotionally just not into it anymore. I mean, watch Carlson, even before he got injured. I mean, his back checking is just not there. This is what happens, I think, when you rely on a select group of people for too long. This is Blake Wheeler. I love Blake Wheeler's response after they lost to the Blues in the first round. And someone asked him about, like, did they just not have the effort? And he basically said, F off. And I love his comment next. He goes, this is a really hard trophy to win. And I love that comment because that's just, that's it to the core. That's exactly what this trophy is. It's just really hard to win. It doesn't take one line. It doesn't take one goalie. It doesn't take one good series or one good matchup. This takes everything. It takes every line, every person. It takes matchups. You got to have goaltending. You got to have in-game adjustments from the coaches. I mean, it takes a lot. So I think in this third round, the Western Conference Final, we are starting to really see a separation. I think the San Jose Sharks have been reliant on the Couturiers and Hurdles, Brent Burns and Carlson. Oh, my God, these guys play half the game. I mean, you can't do that too long without feeling it. I mean, Carlson is just beat up. He doesn't have anything left in the tank. The depth the Blues have, they can run six defensemen. They're running four forwards. Look at the time. Look at the ice time in that last game, the one in San Jose they just played. I mean, there really isn't much difference from the first to the fourth line. Craig Berube is throwing four lines out there. He feels confident that every line is going to take care of business, but it's going to chop up minutes, which is going to give everyone a little bit of rest. So that game last night, to me, it just really embodied the depth the St. Louis Blues have, the trust Craig Berube has in every single one of those guys. And when you have that, you can go the distance.
We're talking with Joe Vitale here on Chili's Week in Hockey, Blues and Sharks Game 6 tomorrow night. Joe, to me, it was pretty evident in the last two games that the Blues are under the San Jose Sharks' skin. Like you just talked about, how they just seem out of it. They seem weathered. As a player, let's say you're on the Blues side, can you spot that on the opposition when it seems like they're mentally checked out and you're under their skin?
100%. You sense it. You feel it. I think the Blues are doing it in a couple different ways. The first way, I think that they're hitting. They're hitting so much. I remember the first couple games, that, you know, even the last game in St. Louis, I looked at the hits after the first period. We're out hitting them like 3-1 at that point. You see Braden Shen flying around, Barbashev smoking everyone. Oscar Sundquist is going head first and everything. They're just hitting everything. And at times, like, they weren't maybe winning the game, but they were, you know, we call about the playoff investment. You got to invest in hits. It's going to add up to something. I think, first of all, we're starting to see that the hits are really starting to wear on the San Jose Sharks. They're dumping pucks in, and the D got to turn around, get the puck, and they're going to get hit. And they know they're going to get hit. There is nothing more demoralizing as a defenseman in the National Hockey League than when you're playing a team that just comes wave after wave after you. They cross the red line. They don't try to make a move. They just chip it past you, and you got to turn, you got to pivot, you got to skate back, and you have Oscar Sundquist or Alexander Steen or Sammy Blais breathing down your neck. You know you're going to get crunched. After a while of that, you kind of just like throw your hands up and like kind of give up. Like, okay, you're going to chip it in, you just go get it. I'm not even going to go get it anymore because I'm tired of getting hit. And that's what we're starting to see. And the forecheck was probably the best it's been all series because the Blues were first on pucks. Well, they're first on pucks not because they're that much faster. I think the San Jose Sharks defensemen, they just give up. They're like, heck with it. I'm tired of turning around, getting pucks, and getting smoked every time. So the physicality thing, that's one. That, to me, is a big sign of why San Jose is kind of checking out. The second thing is the style the Blues play, and it gets back to that simple chip. It's just simple hockey. Maybe it's boring at times, but the San Jose Sharks, they dump it in, the Blues break it out, they chip it in. It's just, it's a chess match. It's back and forth, and to some degree, it's not that exciting, and the San Jose Sharks, you really just feel as a player like they're just like almost like you can't get anything generated. You got no chances in the offensive zone. There's no grade A's. I mean, they're being outshot like some crazy numbers last night. You look at the clock and you're like, oh my God, get me out of here. Like I just want to go to the locker room. I want to regroup, get my suit on and just get ready for the next one. And that's just, it's the theme. It's that characteristic this team has.
Joey, I know the players are going to be focused solely on the task at hand tomorrow night, but the atmosphere and the crowd at Enterprise Center is going to be both deafening and unprecedented in this city. Is there a way that that will translate into an energy source for the players, even though they are focused on their game?
I think that, Amy, if it could, I think crowd energy, I remember as a player, and what I've talked to and heard from these players, and especially Craig Berube, the energy, when it's good and the team's doing well, helps you. When you're chasing the game, you're behind and you're fighting it, sometimes that energy can really affect you. I think when the Blues went through those couple game stretches in the second and third round where they were losing at home, Craig Berube entered the next game, I believe it was game 7 versus the Dallas Stars, and he said, we have to in our own way, quiet the noise around us. So he's talking about Enterprise Center. He's talking about his own home barn. Quiet the noise around you. And what he said is, sometimes when you fall behind early at home, you find yourself chasing the game. You sense the crowd getting impatient, so you start gripping your stick a little too tighter. Maybe you start jumping up in the rush. Maybe you start putting yourself out of position to try to cheat for offense instead of being responsible defensively. So it's really important at home, in order to feed off the positive energy, you have to get up early in the game. And I think when the crowd gets into it, I mean, then it's pretty much just defend, keep everything to the outside. So the Blues, a huge key tomorrow, is going to be getting that early lead like they've been getting. And then it's just hold on. And, I mean, this building in St. Louis has been great. Wait till you see tomorrow. If the Blues get a lead, I mean, it is just clockwork. They are watching seconds tick down. And every second that goes by, it's 1 second closer to the Stanley Cup final. This place, it's going to be beyond energetic. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But it's going to be important for the Blues to get that first one, hopefully first two. If you do that, San Jose is going to feel like they're out of it. Blues will go in defend mode. Jordan Bennington's been playing great. So I think, like they saw in the last two games, the one in St. Louis and last night, you know, Barbashev had the early goal. Oscar Sundquist, the early one last night. The fourth line maybe can generate something. I expect to see them starting tomorrow night. Boom. It's history. We'll be cruising off to Boston this weekend.
Joe, rest up, buddy. We can't wait to see you back at Enterprise tomorrow night. Thank you so much for hopping on with us, and don't let Amy's insults bring you down, buddy.
Never do. Amy, Alex, a pleasure. You guys have a great night. Thanks for having me on, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Joe Vitale, he is the best among us. And I'm looking directly at you, Mark Scores.
First of all, I'm not the one doing the insulting. People don't see behind the scenes. They don't see the abuse I take from everybody.
Abuse, friendship, however you want to label it. We'll label it however we want. We're going to come back. Alex, take a breath. We're going to come back with Big Walt next on Chili's Week in Hockey.
Now, more of Chili's Week in Hockey. On your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
As always, if you got Blues questions, send them our way. 314-436-7900, telephone number, text line. You can also tweet us, Ferrario KMOX, at Amy Mark Scores. Get a little Blues alumni conversation now. I talked with Big Walt, Keith Tkachuk, earlier today. Talk a little bit about this Game 6, and of course, the play of Robert Thomas. Keith Tkachuk, catching up with him, always good.
Alex, how are you doing?
Doing awesome. So tell me, as a former player now working for the team, how amped up are you for tomorrow night's game?
Well, I guess I could say I'm more nervous than I was when I've ever played. So it's an exciting time for our organization, exciting time for our city, or exciting time for our fans. I mean, the guys are playing really well, and they're playing determined.
You got the perfect scenario in terms of workplace because you work for the team that you played for, and so you can get excited and not have to really worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's when things are rolling like this, you really don't get too ramped up. You know, the guys are doing an excellent job, and I mean, it's just fun. I love living here. I'm a St. Louis Blue. And, you know, I've been here for a long time now, and this city is waiting for something wonderful to happen in the hockey world. And, you know, we're close to achieving, you know, our next goal.
Yeah, they really are. And it's funny, Keith, because when you sit here and talk about it, you look back in the previous team that was close to this opportunity was 2016. But before that, it was the teams that you were a part of. And when you go back to those rosters and how close that you guys were to making it to the Stanley Cup final, what sticks out to you about those teams?
Well, you know what? It's timing's everything. I mean, we were supposed to be in this situation back in 01 when I was here. You look at the situation the team was in, you know, the first half of the season, and to be where they are today and how much work they put in and how well they've done, it's remarkable. You know, I remember being at our meetings around the time we're in dead last. We were talking about possibly drafting, you know, a top three position and trying to get Jack Hughes. And next thing you know, Bennington comes in, we go on a roll. Obviously, there's a coaching change, and, you know, the coaches have done an excellent job. And, you know, you're in the final four teams, you know, basically three now with Carolina being out. So it's exciting times for everybody here in St. Louis.
I know you can't disclose a lot, but take me into the room, Keith, when you see Jordan Bennington play a couple of games the way that he does. Is that an eye-popping moment for the staff and finding out what this kid's made of?
it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just weird how it happened. I mean, this kid obviously was a good goalie. That's why, you know, this is before my time getting drafted, you know. I mean, you know, he's 25 years old, so he was down playing, you know, he played major junior, and I don't know a lot about him, but all I know is he's doing the job right now and stopping the puck, and, you know, it was a long route for him to get here, and, you know, he's taking the reins, and, I mean, he just looks terrific back there. He looks confident, and that's something that, obviously, in a position, the most important position on the ice, you need that confidence, and he showed it. And, you know, he's finding a way to get the job done.
Yeah, he no doubt is. Again, we're talking with Keith Tkachuk here on a Monday night on KMOX before Blues and Sharks drop the puck in Game 6. Keith, give me an idea of what you've seen from some of these vets on this team now and how they've grown throughout the years. I mean, you're very familiar with guys like Alex Pietrangelo, Alexander Steen, players that have been around this organization for a long time, but they've grown from young rookies to now leading the squad right now into a Stanley Cup Finals, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, they've been through a lot of ups and downs, and you know, over the last years or so, I mean, it's been consistently a playoff-bound team, except for the previous year. So, I mean, it's nice to see these guys learning and gaining leadership. And that's the one thing good about our team is our depth, and it's been different guys every night. It hasn't been one person that's been carrying the load. Obviously, Bennington's been our best player, but, you know, guys like the, I don't want to say fourth line, but the Sundquist line, yeah, with Barbashev and Steen really set the tempo, starting games and creating havoc on the forecheck and bonus chipping in goals. So it's fun to see. And obviously Schwartz has been here long enough now, and he's done an excellent job. Petro obviously has been through some wild ups and downs, and it's fun to see. I mean, Vladdy had a big day yesterday. So it's, I mean, David Perron's been here three different times, and I played with him when he was an 18-year-old, and, you know, this guy continues to get better and better each year.
Now, you mentioned Jaden Schwartz. I'm curious, Keith, because you played with some outstanding scorers in the postseason, yourself included, but guys like Chris Pronger, Al McInnes, Pavel Dimitra. When it comes to scoring in the playoffs, what sets players apart from guys who can just score in the regular season?
Well, I mean, he didn't have a great year stats-wise and really fought it at times, but what he's doing around the net, and you look at all three of his goals, they weren't perimeter goals. They were all around, you know, 6 feet from the net. So, and, you know, I love the, I think it was his second goal, I think, when he was battling in front of the net on the power play. And this guy's 5 foot nothing. and he wants to score goals, you know, and it's hard to find guys that are willing to sacrifice and play on the inside. And he sees where he's scoring goals, and he's finding a way, and he's getting to those areas, and he's willing to do it.
Speaking of guys who are willing to sacrifice their body, Robert Thomas, who we all know lives with you, Keith, and a incredible season for a 19-year-old. What have you seen from his growth from day one up until now?
Well, he continues to be heading north. I mean, he's getting better and better each game, each month. And I'll say it again for like the 50th time or maybe 100th time. What he did the last series in Game 7, you don't see that from a 19-year-old kid. He was our best player on the ice. He brought the other guys along with him in the fight, and he was just ridiculous how good he played. And, you know, like anybody else, he might not show up in the stat sheet, but this kid brings it every game. And he makes others better around him. If you did the redraft, there's no question he'd be a top three, top five pick in that draft.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And he really shows you what the benefits of having good line mates does for a player too, doesn't it, Keith? I mean, when you think about what Pat Maroon and what Tyler Bozak have done for Robert Thomas, they've said it numerous times this season that they just try and give him space and let him work.
Yeah, I mean, he does. You know, he's the guy you want transporting the puck, and obviously, two guys who've been around the size of Maroon and veteran leadership of Bozak, who can score those big goals, you know, it's critical. It's critical. I mean, it's almost like get out of his way and let him do the thing he does and go over the net and get open because he'll find you. But, you know, that line has been really, really good for us, and they, you know, create a lot off the forecheck. And And that's the one good thing about our team is it's different lines each night stepping up.
Yeah, it's just forecheck after forecheck with these guys. One more, Keith, on Robert Thomas. Can you take me into some of the conversations that you had with him, maybe back in December or January when the team is going through a really bad stretch and it's looking like it's going to be a loss of a season? What's the motivation that you need to give to Robert Thomas, or does he not even need any?
You know what? He's a pretty driven kid. He played on some good teams in junior with some really good coaches, you know, and Dale Hunter in London, and then John Gruden, who is now with the Islanders. So he's been through the gauntlet there, and he knows what it takes to win. And, you know, he's been around winning teams. So I didn't really want to say much to him except for no matter what, you keep playing hard. And I tell my own kids, compete and be a good teammate. He's well-loved by his teammates. He comes in, shuts his mouth, does his job, and they see how good he is. And right now, I guarantee you want a lot of these want to play with Robert. He's only going to get better as he gets older, and you know he's going to be one of those guys as you built around. You know, you build around a guy like that at the center position or whatever he plays, wing or center. But you know he can still play center.
Yeah, that's the best part about it, knowing that he's just going to continue to get better. One more for Keith Tkachuk here with us on a Monday night on KMOX. Blues and Sharks in action tomorrow night. Keith, just give me an idea of what this is going to mean if it happens, getting into the Stanley Cup final, not only for the city of St. Louis, but for guys like Bobby Plager, guys like Kelly Chase, guys like yourself who have put so much into their time playing for the St. Louis Blues.
Well, anybody who's been here and has played and put on the blue note jersey has loved it here. And that's why you see a lot of guys stay. And there's a lot of people that have supported the Blues for a long time, not just players, but fans. And this will mean a lot to a lot of different people around, you know, Missouri and around the greater St. Louis area. So, you know, this is still a ways to go. We still need to, the boys got to do what they do, and hopefully we can get to that next level because the city's been waiting for this for a long, long time.
Yeah, I can only imagine how loud it will be tomorrow night if they finally accomplish that. Keith Tkachuk, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight, buddy. We appreciate it. I know we'll see you over at Enterprise Center tomorrow night and possibly doing the Bobby Plager method of pacing back and forth while the game's going on.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I get a little nervous. We might have to.
Guarantee you a lot of the alumni are going to be pacing back and forth with that one. Or heck, you may even see Cam Jansen pull another muscle in his legs trying to jump over the barrier to get into the seats for a celebration. Regardless, we're pumped up for game 6. I got a surprise for Amy Mark Scores. We're going to come back with that next on Chili's Week in Hockey.
Now, back to Chili's Week in Hockey on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, Amy, I'm going to stop it right there. What do you think that is?
Gloria.
This is my surprise. This is my surprise / gift to you.
Okay.
This is from Dave Klein, producer for Mark Reardon's show. Passed this along to me. An incredible cover of Laura Branigan's Gloria. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
Gloria, you're always on the run now. Running after somebody. You gotta get him somehow.
This is incredible.
I think you've got to slow down before you start to blow it.
Sounds like Joe Vitale singing karaoke.
It's very subdued.
For a breakdown.
This is Ross Goodkin.
So be careful not to show it.
You know, he's subdued. Really, this is the version of Gloria you sing before you win the game. You have, it's very
are the voices
moderate
in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Calling Gloria.
It's very practical.
That would be Jordan Binnington, I feel like. Gloria. Like, this is Binnington singing Gloria in his head.
Don't you think you're falling?
No excitement.
I don't think Jordan Binnington sings.
Might be a good question to ask him that. When we see him tomorrow.
You know, I like this because it's more of like he's making a statement. Maybe like he's actually talking to Gloria. Like if you were just having a
leave
conversation.
On the line.
Like you're saying, hey, don't leave me hanging on the line.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. Ross Goodkin knows how to cover Laura Branigan.
I can appreciate that. That's not you don't sing it that way after a win. It's very tempered, right? You have to keep it calm because there is still a job ahead.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Did you know that she's on the top 100 charts now?
Well, she died.
Well, her song didn't die, Mark Scores.
No, I know that.
Her song is on the top 100.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Way to go, St. Louis.
St. Louis, get her to top 10.
Oh, I know.
If they win
the
Stanley Cup,
exactly
she
right.
will be number one for a good
do you,
week.
Do you think in the rankings of unexpected trajectories for people's careers.
Why did you say it like that?
Projects.
Unexpected trajectory.
Yeah. There's no way they could have seen this song. This song having a resurgence the way it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right now.
It's incredible to me that a song would take off like this. But hey, when you go on an 11-game win streak, you do what you can, right? Yeah.
You know what else is hard to believe that took off? Jordan Bennington.
I was going to say the planes, okay, that's good.
Actually, I am amazed. Every time a plane takes off, it shocks me because it looks impossible. It looks impossible. Like if I ran an airlines, it would be like, you know, American Airlines. Well, here goes nothing. That would be my slogan for my airline. Planes look impossible. You look at them, you think there's no way this can fly. But no, going back to Jordan Bennington. Okay, here's why it's so amazing that Jordan Bennington is playing for a shot to be the starting goaltender in the Stanley Cup Final across the ice from none other than Tuukka Rask.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because this is unbelievable to me. In 2017, the Blues couldn't find room for Jordan Bennington on their AHL team, so he had to be loaned to another AHL team.
Well, it wasn't their AHL team.
It was
the lone AHL team they were a part of, the Chicago Wolves.
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. So they had to loan him to Providence, which is the Boston Bruins AHL team. And Jordan Bennington had to fight for ice there in Providence. And he ended up being an all-star in the 2017-18 AHL season. But, I mean, you talk about an unexpected trajectory for Jordan Bennington fighting for ice. When some goalies at that point, they would have said they wanted to be traded or they wanted to go to a European league just to get ice time.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
You want to know something else that's unbelievable?
What?
The way that Bennington became a St. Louis Blue. I told you this afternoon. So
yes.
I was on Reddit and I saw this, and I know Bernie Miklas was talking about this afternoon or this morning on his show, but there's something on Reddit that goes through the process of how Jordan Bennington has become a St. Louis Blue, and it's because of Brendan Shanahan.
Hmm.
The Blues were awarded Brendan Shanahan for the arbitration of Scott Stevens. So Shanahan was traded for Chris Pronger. Chris Pronger was traded to Edmonton for Eric Brewer. Eric Brewer was traded for a couple of draft picks, including a draft pick that acquired Jordan Bennington.
Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bennington for Brendan Shanahan. We'll come back with our second hour of Chili's Week in Hockey next.
Now, more of Chili's Week in Hockey on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
So you can label Amy and I Holmes and Watson for our investigation that we just did over the last 5-6 minutes.
Oh, really?
I would consider you a Watson. You seem like a Watson.
That's because Watson did all the work.
Wow.
For Holmes, and then Holmes is like, oh, I've got it. It's this, dear Watson. And Watson's like, duh, I gave you all the information you needed.
Wow, that is false. That is false information. You are fake news because that is not true. Sherlock Holmes was a genius.
No, I've read my fair share of Sir Arthur Conan
Doyle. I've watched my fair share of movies, including Sherlock Holmes and Robert Downey Jr.
In the books, Watson does all the work. And in fact, Sherlock Holmes disappears for like 100 pages and then comes back.
Because he was working super hard to solve the crime. Jesus. Anyway, I digress. The Blues have played the Boston Bruins twice in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Once we know 1970 in the Stanley Cup final. But did you know that they played them 2 years later?
In 1972, after defeating the North Stars,
Minnesota.
The Blues faced the Boston Bruins. They were swept, unfortunately. Mm. And get this, the Bruins, led by Bob Uecker, put up 28 goals on the Blues in four games.
Oof.
Different era, folks.
Different
Don't worry
era.
About it.
But it is interesting to sit here and say that the Blues have never won a game in the Stanley Cup final, and they've never won a game against the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Something to keep in mind. By the way, kids, if you're listening, never believe Wikipedia.
Mm.
I'm superstitious. Well, I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious. Thank you, Michael Scott. On Wikipedia, in the list of Blues seasons, they have the Blues defeating the Sharks in the conference final 4-2.
Right now?
Right now.
Are you serious?
They put it up there. I don't like that. Someone take that down.
No. So, okay, wait. I did hear about this, though. Did you hear about this guy on Wikipedia?
Is this a joke?
No, this is a true story. He went into Wikipedia and incrementally? I said like 17
incrementally.
Extra. Yes. Made the state of Missouri larger and larger on the map of the United States. If you went to the Missouri Wikipedia page, he kept enlarging the state of Missouri until he got caught. And then somebody fixed it.
I'm sorry, that's genius.
It's kind of awesome.
It's genius. This is Wikipedia for you, man. I'm going to go to Joe Vitale's Wikipedia page and see if I can start adding some things.
I will say one of the...
Wait, does Amy Markscores have a Wikipedia page?
No. But one of the most fun Wikipedia pages is that of Darren Pang, because it talks about Panger being a former NHL goaltender, a current broadcaster, and the last line of the first intro of the first paragraph of the Darren Pang Wikipedia page says, he is good friends with Steve Yzerman. Which I love.
I mean,
it.
It's true.
If I were friends with Steve Yzerman, I'd put that on my resume.
It's true. But you'll never be good friends with Steve Yzerman. So
no, well, don't because worry. Of that moment.
Yeah, that unconventional bounce. Is that what it was called?
No. It was a pretentious dumping.
Pretentious dumping.
It wasn't even a shot. It was just a pretentious dumping.
You're a pretentious dumping. Anyway, we got Judd Surratt coming up in our next segment. Talk a little Boston Bruins with him. I'm not putting the cart before the horse. I almost said the cart before the folks, horses. That would have been so wrong. I'm not putting the cart before the horse, but I did want to talk Boston Bruins since they've been off for so long. But Amy and I had a topic we wanted to get into here, and the phone lines are open for this. 314-436-7900. We'll take your phone calls and your thoughts on this. But is this game tomorrow night the best Blues game, biggest Blues game in franchise history?
Do you want me to answer that right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So answer the question.
My answer is yes. Yes, hands down. This is the biggest game in franchise history. Because you look at the finals. You look at the first three finals. The Blues were swept by Montreal, by the Bruins. So there was no big game in those finals. And at the time, the finals were only the third round, right? There were two rounds, and then you were in the final. And then you look at this year. And what it means, 49 years after your last trip to the Stanley Cup Final, where the league has evolved from 12 teams to 31 teams.
Yeah.
And what this team has been through, how they've been close before and haven't been able to get the job done, and the potential and the momentum and the personnel on this team. And again, I keep going back to the storylines, but I just can't get over it. Everything from Craig Berube to Jordan Binnington to Ryan O'Reilly having a career year. David Perron coming back, right, for the third time after his trip to the Stanley Cup Final last year. Yes. Hands down, biggest game in St. Louis Blues history.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one too, Amy, because if you think about it, you know, you didn't have to get through as many teams as you did back in 1969-1970 season. Now you've not only had to go through, 20-plus teams to rise in the standings to get into a playoff position, but from that moment on, you had to take down a Winnipeg Jets team, take down a Dallas Stars team, and then now take down a San Jose Sharks team, and I just think it's a lot more difficult now for this team because you had to go through so many other teams, but the game was different as well. We were talking about this afternoon with Dan O'Neill of the media staff for the St. Louis Blues. If you think about it, you have to go through one extra team for seven games. You know, they've made the game so that goals are at a higher pace. You know, the goalie pads are smaller. There's more rules involved with the game. You know, maybe it's not as much hard hitting as it was back in the first couple of years for the Blues, but the talent, I think, has gotten a lot better as well. So if you take all that into consideration, that's what makes this game tomorrow the biggest and possibly the best game in franchise history of sending this team to the Stanley Cup final.
The Stanley Cup is the hardest championship to win, and the Stanley,
in pro sports,
and the Stanley Cup Final is the hardest final to get your ticket punched for. I mean, I don't think there are any qualms about the Stanley Cup Final being so difficult. Anybody who's familiar with hockey knows how difficult it is to get to the final. Anybody who doesn't pay any attention at all to hockey, when they find out that the Blues are still playing, that hockey is still going on and it's not even in the final round, they're like, well, geez, how long has this been going on? The National Hockey League has 2 months of playoffs, and it's exhausting. You talk about players being banged up. You talk about them being fatigued. Depth matters in the National Hockey League more than it matters in any other sport, and it's not even close. Yeah. You have got, from your goaltender to your forwards to your defensemen, the physical beating that these guys take and how long they have to survive, not only survive and be at the top of their game, but play increasingly tough series? Unbelievable.
Remember when Boston was in the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago and Patrice Bergeron played every game and then they found out he had a punctured lung?
Yeah.
Like, he was playing with a punctured lung. I guarantee you 50%, if not more, of the Blues roster right now is playing with something broken at this point of the season.
Broken? Well, I don't know about broken.
Oh, no. I would say broken.
50%?
I'd say about 50% of them playing with something broken.
I would say more than 50% are playing injured to some degree, but not broken.
Injured was last round. I guarantee you things are broken.
No.
Not anything severe, but I guarantee you something's fractured.
We would know, but I mean, Erik Karlsson, who's in this series right now, a couple of years ago, he was playing 30 minutes with two breaks in his ankle. 30 minutes a game, he had two.
That's what I'm saying.
Breaks in his ankle. Yeah, but that was what we heard about that. That was a big deal. I don't think
you can play through minor fractures like that.
Do you think 50% of the roster has fractures?
I would say so.
I don't think so.
I would say so.
I think they're all banged up. I bet 100% of them have something, but not a broken bone.
I think you're a broken bone. Jim's on the line. Jim, what's up?
Yeah, this is Jim from Oakville, and I'm just wondering, Martin Jones seems to have problems high and glove side. Is that something you could fix in the middle of a series? I'd like the lady to answer. I'll hang up and listen.
We'll let the lady answer.
That's, thank you, Jim from Oakville.
Jim from Oakville crushing it with that one.
You know, Martin Jones is not strong high glove side, and if you watch him play, he carries his glove low for an NHL goaltender. He really does. He just does. That's his style of play. Why he hasn't fixed it by now, I'm not exactly sure. But his positioning, that's just how he is. And, you know, if you're going to shoot it, take your chances high glove side.
Take your shot.
I will say, watch Tyler Bozak. I talked to him earlier in this series. And granted, at this point, as Jim from Oakville pointed out, it probably might be best to shoot high glove side on Martin Jones. But Tyler Bozak, for a righty, he shoots a lot on the blocker side. And this is not just in this series, but series in general. And I asked him, you know, are you doing that on purpose? Are you going blocker side? He said, yeah, I know I don't have the best shot in the world, so I'm going to shoot to score. But if the odds are against me for scoring, I may as well create a rebound.
Yeah.
So kind of funny.
And Sammy Blais said the same thing about Ben Bishop, too. When he took that slap shot from the faceoff circle, he said, I know Bishop drops early, so that's why I took the shot. So look at Jim from Oakville coming in with the clutch answer on Martin Jones's glove.
Caller of the week.
Caller of the year right there for Jim from Oakville. We'll talk a little Boston Bruins. Judge Surratt, the radio play-by-play man, the Chris Kerber, Boston Bruins broadcaster, joins us next on Chili's Week in Hockey.
Now, back to Chili's Week in Hockey on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to Chili's Week in Hockey. Alex Ferrario, Amy Mark scores with you here on a Monday night as we prepare for Game 6 tomorrow between the Blues and San Jose Sharks. Winner, if the Blues win, we'll head to the Stanley Cup Final. Loser, if the Blues lose, we'll head to Game 7. But we figure, and I want to preface this, Amy, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, so I'm not trying to be superstitious here, but I wanted to get the Boston side of it because they've been waiting for a while to find out who their opponent will be, and so we figure why not chip up the Boston and welcome in Judd Surratt, the play-by-play announcer for the radio side of the Boston Bruins. Judd, it's great for you to hop on with us, buddy. How are you?
We're good. Everybody's just waiting for things to get started. Just waiting to see how that Blues-Sharks series is going to pan out. You know, and honestly, after watching the Blues go down 2-1 and watching the way that the Blues played, especially early in that series, I'm not surprised that they're on the verge of making it back to the Stanley Cup Final. You know, earlier in the playoffs, I had a chance to run into Kelly Chase when he was doing some national work, and I said, this kind of feels like 1970s. I'm probably going to see you in a few weeks.
Yeah, well, I think that's what everyone's hoping to relive, the 1970 Stanley Cup that everyone remembers of Bobby Orr flying through the air because of Noel Picard. But, Judd, I'm curious, did you guys expect to be waiting this long going into a series with a Carolina Hurricanes team that seemed to be as red hot as the Blues are in the Western Conference?
Well, honestly, I think this happens a lot during the regular season, that sometimes it's not who you play during the regular season, but it's when you play them based on the schedule, because a lot of times you're playing three games in four nights, maybe you're traveling, maybe the team that you're playing is rested and they're waiting for you at home. So I think when it comes to the playoffs, I think for the Bruins, they caught Carolina at a perfect time. I don't think anybody figured that Carolina, especially after going down 0-2 to the Washington Capitals, the team that won the Stanley Cup last year, would be able to rally back. And then they got smoked in Game 5. I want to say it was 5 or 6-0. And they come back, they win Game 6, they win Game 7, and then they sweep the Islanders. But I think what was surprising through that series was that Rod Brind'Amour, early in the series against the Bruins, said, "I think my team is mentally fatigued." So I think in many ways for the Bruins, playing them in the third round versus the first round, because a lot like the Blues, they were one of the hottest teams from January 1st to the end of the regular season. And I think had they played them in the first round, it would have been a much stiffer test. But when the Bruins got them, not only were maybe the Hurricanes were a little mentally and physically fatigued, probably more mentally, because that was what Rod Brind'Amour mentioned, but the Bruins had started to roll, and they steamrolled them across that series. That was probably a series for about 40 minutes, and that was in the first two games, and it was over.
Wow. Well, and driving the steamroller is Tuukka Rask, and I imagine that 2011 Tim Thomas has been the black and gold standard in Boston for a goaltender's performance. How much has Rask been compared to Thomas, and are people saying he's playing even better than Thomas did?
Well, you know, I think when it comes to Tim Thomas, he had a phenomenal year, but when you go back to 2011, but I think if you have to remember leading up to the conference final, it wasn't always a smooth road for Tim Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
In that first round, the Bruins, they had their hands full against the Montreal Canadiens and had to rally and come back and win that first-round series, and then Thomas started to get hot. But I think in the big picture for a guy like Rask, he was on a similar run back in 2013, beaten by the Blackhawks ultimately in six games in 2013 in that Stanley Cup final. But Rask has been terrific. He's been the bedrock of the team. He's mentioned because he and Yaroslav Halak, the former Blue, they had an opportunity to split a lot of the time this year. Rask got a few more starts than Yaroslav Halak, but that was the plan all along, so that Rask would be fresh when the playoffs hit. And for Tuukka, I think he was asked a question during the Carolina series, "Are you in a zone?" And he said, "I don't know exactly what that is. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to play calm, play relaxed, play big, and read the play." He's made key saves at key times. He was at his best in the first period of Game 3 when he got inundated with shots, 20 in particular. And then when Carolina couldn't score, they were so demoralized, and the Bruins were able to take Game 3 and then obviously bounced them in 4.
It's unreal. Just you hearing you say that, Judd, about Tuukka Rask, sounds like Jordan Binnington is saying the exact same thing, because that's how he plays, where he's not in a zone or anything like that. He's just calm and trying to play his hockey game. And it's funny, and again, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse here, but when you look at it...
Yes, you are.
I know. I so am, and people are going to just come at me now with, "Oh, you're jinxing it." I swear, I'm not trying to, but if you look at it, when you talk about goaltenders, it's Binnington and Rask. When you talk about defense, you got lockdown defense on both sides, and you got four lines that you trust in any moment of the game for both Boston and St. Louis.
You do. You know, in fact, I was talking to a friend of mine who does some Bruins work on television here, and he had mentioned just how similar watching Game 5 that the St. Louis Blues reminded him of the Boston Bruins. Look at what that Barbashev line has been able to do throughout the playoffs. Look at the back end. Colton Parayko, Alex Pietrangelo, and then you got some guys, you know, who are going to make it hard for you to get to the interior, and Joel Edmondson and Robert Bortuzzo, and Jay Bouwmeester is a terrific veteran player that I've known for a long time. And then up front, you know, you've got a four-line rotation. Craig Berube's got everything going. Jaden Schwartz has obviously been the star. I don't know how Braden Schenn did not score at least three goals himself in Game 5. He was all over it, and I know that he's been a little snake-bitten here in the playoffs. But you have a variety of weapons, and it's been all hands on deck for the Blues.
And the Boston Bruins, they have depth, but then they also have that superstar power. When you see the combination of Pasternak and Marchand, when you compare the Boston Bruins' depth to the Blues' depth, you've got to see a lot of similarities.
No, I would agree. I think that there are a lot of parallels there. You know, but you, what you have to remember, though, with the Bruins, so go back to the conference final. Heading into Game 4 against the Carolina Hurricanes, that top line that you had talked about with Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand, they had totaled, heading into Game 4, only one assist 5-on-5, and the Bruins had handily won those first three games. They had to come from behind in Game 1, and it was Bergeron who had the game winner on the power play. But Rod Brind'Amour, and, you know, and I think this is the case a lot of the times across the series when you're dealing with good players, and maybe you're seeing it now with Vladimir Tarasenko here later in the series against the San Jose Sharks as he's picked it up, and I know he has points in all of those games thus far. Brind'Amour had said at some point those guys are going to go off, and what worried him was that those guys hadn't scored 5-on-5. They weren't really a factor 5-on-5 heading into Game 4. Well, they did, and they devoured Carolina in Game 4. But it's been a complete effort up and down for the Bruins. 19 different players with goals, 12 different players with multiple goals. They've got 12 wins in the playoffs. 9 different guys have game winners.
Unreal. Judge Sirota, a couple more minutes with you before we let you go. I'm curious, you know, Brad Marchand gets a bad rap outside of Boston, mostly because of what takes place on and off the ice. But, you know, from the Boston side of it, Judd, and you're laughing at it, but from the Boston side of it, you got to tell me, is he the key to success for this team? Because it really feels like whenever he's on, everyone else follows.
I think that he is one of the players for the Bruins. Listen, he had a phenomenal year. You got to remember that Marchy put up 100 points this year. That was a career high for him. There was only a handful of players in the league that hit 100 points this season. And the bulk of those were assists. He was eighth in the league in assists this year with 64. He had 36 goals. He's an elite player, and he's worked very hard to get to this point. You got to remember that his track record is he broke into the league under Claude Julien, and he played a fourth-line role. And then they gave him a little bit on the power play. And then they started to pair him up with Bergeron, and he's continued to grow. He wants it bad. And I think sometimes what we see on the ice, and maybe what you saw a little bit in that second round with a little love tap on Scott Harrington, was that sometimes when things aren't going the way Marchand would like, that it comes out in a different way. You know, maybe in a way that can sometimes put his team in jeopardy. But I think Marchand, so after that moment, after that little shot that he gave Scott Harrington in the back of the head, which should have been penalized, but the referees did not see it, Marchie started to pick it up. You know, in fact, Marchand was the guy in the conference finals against Carolina, Game 1. The Bruins are down 2-1. Jordan Staal runs Chris Wagner from behind. Connor Clifton wants to jump Jordan Staal. It's Brad Marchand who jumps in and grabs Connor Clifton to take him off the pile because he understands, hey, we're getting a power play here. Now is not the time. Pick a different spot. So Marchand has been terrific. And I obviously people appreciate him a lot more here in Boston. And I'm sure if it's the Blues and the Bruins playing in the Stanley Cup final, there is no question that the Blues fans will learn to hate Marchand, but you hate him because he's good.
Yeah, he is. He puts up points. And is there much talk in Boston about David Backes potentially playing his former team, of which he was the captain, no less?
Oh, absolutely. No, there's a lot of that. And listen, David, it's been a fascinating year for David, you know, and maybe another time we can go through his entire regular season that he's gone through for Boston. But here in the playoffs, when he's been called upon, He's been a contributor for the Bruins. He's played on the right side with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusque. He hasn't seen a lot of minutes, and Bruce Cassidy has found a way to sort of spot him during the course of the game that allows him to be effective. But, listen, David was very emotional, as he should have been, after the Bruins were victorious and he headed to his first Stanley Cup final because, as you well know, he's only been to one conference final prior to this year. That came, I believe, against the San Jose Sharks back in 2016. So this is, for David Backes, this is his first, and it could be his best chance to win a Stanley Cup title. And listen, he's been a great leader for this team. I know that the production has not been there the way he wants, and maybe the way the Bruins and the Bruins fans have wanted since he has come here as a free agent. But what guys will talk about is the factor that he is both on the ice, on the bench, in the room, as part of a great leadership core. And I know the Blues have the same thing, and that's what's given the Bruins an opportunity to play for a Stanley Cup title.
Boy, I can't wait for it. I'll say it again because I've said it already twice, Judd. I'm not putting the cart before the horse.
Yes, he is.
Okay, I'll admit it. I am. But regardless of what it's going to be an interesting matchup. Boston Bruins waiting for their opponent. Game 6 tomorrow night. Judd Surratt, man, we appreciate you hopping on with us tonight. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you in St. Louis soon.
Anytime. I have a feeling we're going to see one another.
Amy?
Awesome.
I got that same feeling as well. Same feeling.
Don't put I've already put
the carts before the horse three times. What's one more? We'll come back and talk about this Blues and how confident they truly are in this series against the Sharks.
Now, more of Joey's Week in Hockey on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Well, we weren't playing handball, were we? So we're playing hockey. I think, we deserve to win this game. And at the end of the day, I think that neither team, drew the shortest stick on any of the calls out there. So it was a fair game.
Real question.
Mm-hmm.
Has Erik Karlsson jumped over your hatred for the Nashville Predators?
You know, yes. Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks. I hate them more than Nashville Predators. And I didn't even think that I could, because my hatred for the Nashville Predators is so fierce.
That's a good word.
But now I hate the San Jose Sharks. But I have a lot of room to hate teams. I don't know if that's bad.
You got a lot of room to hate, right?
I know. Is that bad?
You got a lot of hate in your life, Mark Scores. You need to try and be a better person.
I should try to be a better person. I can always be a better person and play full 60 minutes and go to the greasy areas.
Well, it's funny, too, because this is something that, I talked with Bill Lindsay in the 6 o'clock hour. I talked this with Panger in the 7 o'clock hour. But this is my best example as to why the Blues have the advantage in this series. The complaining coming from the San Jose Sharks. You go back to game 1, Erik Karlsson. They were trying to do something other than hockey. We're just trying to play hockey. Anytime you start to run your mouth and brag or complain or trying to find excuses for what took place, the hockey gods are going to make you pay. Mm-hmm. And like I've never played professional hockey. Heck, I've been terrible at rec hockey for many years, but Bobby Plager knows a lot about pro hockey, and he's told me before that the hockey gods are real. Treat them well, they treat you well. If you don't, they're going to make you pay. That right there is making you pay. And if that doesn't make you pay, then the head coach will listen.
Arguably a 5-minute major on Tommy Hertl, that if it's called, that's a momentum-changing play right there. But we come out of the first down 1-0, and then Hertl can't go, Karlsson can't go, and so we started taking on some water.
Well, to me, that doesn't mean it's the officiating's fault that you lose this game. To me, that's the adversity that you got to find a way to overcome that they have not been able to. So you have Karlsson complaining about the hits. You have DeBoer complaining about the officiating.
Well, and remember, at the beginning of this series, Pete DeBoer just said, we're going to focus on playing hockey. They can focus on their extracurricular activities.
Well, and then they're getting frustrated because the word lucky has been thrown out a couple of times. And look, at the end of the day, all of this complaining is putting the focus more on your team than what Craig Berube said after game 3 when they were talking about the hand pass so much, everyone wanted to know, and this was Craig Berube.
Do you think that was a hand pass, and did you get any explanation?
No explanation.
Did you think it was a hand pass?
Well, what do you guys think?
Yes.
Okay, then don't ask me. There's no reason to ask me.
Well, we want to hear what you have to say.
Nothing. I have nothing to say about it.
You know what? Every player echoed that thought, and I think that right there, Amy, is the reason this Blues team is up 3-2 in the series.
Comportment matters. How you carry yourself matters. What you say to the media matters. And the San Jose Sharks complaining about the referees, and not just that, but the way they conducted themselves after the hand pass victory with snark, with smirks, it was not a good look. It was not a good look for the San Jose Sharks, and you can call it the hockey gods, you can call it karma, but certainly it has come back to bite them. And I would say, yes, the way the Blues have moved on, whether it was Coach Craig Berube, or I loved what David Perron had to say in the locker room after the overtime loss because of the hand pass. He said, we're moving on. We've moved on. We're past it. We're going to overcome this. And he was incredibly calm. He was very confident. I mean, considering the circumstances, it would be not incorrect to call him serene in that moment. That's how calm they were. And you just had that feeling from that moment that the Blues were going to win this series. We've talked about them being a superior team on the ice, superior in talent, superior in depth. I would say they're superior mentally, emotionally, how they handle this game. We saw it in the media. I mean, you can't hide. The quotes are there. The video is there. You can see the way the San Jose Sharks conduct themselves. You can see the way the St. Louis Blues conduct themselves. Well, they're the superior team.
Well, and the composure just sticks out to you so much, Amy, and it's not just this. We talked about this in the 8 o'clock hour. Think about the adversity that this Blues team has overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You remember back in December when Alex Pietrangelo went down, Jaden Schwartz went down, I believe Joel Edmondson went down.
David Perron went down.
You were without five or six of your players, and you continued to play hockey. Your goaltender struggled, continued to play hockey. No top goal scorers continued to play hockey. I mean, you were relying on Oscar Sundquist and Ryan O'Reilly for 75% of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You found ways to overcome adversity. Postseason, you've overcome adversity. And there's just been a composed feeling to this Blues team of, we're done with it. We're moving on. We're all ready for game four. I mean, even David Perron, after game three, continued to just answer the same way. We're not worried about it. We're focused on game four. Craig Berube said it today. This team has found a way to shake off whatever happens as soon as they hit the locker room and start mentally preparing for the next game. And I think that is the biggest attribute for this Blues team mm-hmm. moving forward.
You know, Judd Surratt made a really interesting point in the last segment. He said, it's not just who you play, it's when you play them. And I think that is absolutely critical in the playoffs. You know, the opponents that you face, maybe they're a team that can fake it through the first round. Maybe a guy gets hot in the first round. You look at Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog and that line. They were up in points, like up with the leaders. I think MacKinnon might still be up with the playoff leaders in points.
Might be.
Like in the top 10. And they haven't been playing hockey in a long time. So you look at...
It was like last year, William Karlsson was there all the way through. And of course, they made it that far, but he was there. He didn't lose his spot.
Mark Stone held his spot for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's when... You know, it's not just who you play, but it's when you play them. And that's what makes this Blues team so different, is I feel like they've been the same team for all three rounds. They are unchanging. They are wave after wave after wave of pressure. And if a guy that you're counting on, like a Vladimir Tarasenko, isn't putting up numbers that you're used to seeing, somebody else steps up. I was looking at the top 5 points scores for the St. Louis Blues in each of the three rounds. Only one guy is in the top 5 for all three rounds, and that's Jaden Schwartz. In this round versus San Jose, he is tied for second place with David Perron with 5 points. Vladimir Tarasenko has 7. In the series against Dallas, he led the team with 6 points. And in the series against Winnipeg, he was in second place with 5 points. But the rest of the players either have their one moment in the top 5 in one series, or they're in the top 5 2 out of 3. But in this series alone, you have 11 players with goals and 16 players with points.
Yeah.
Wave after wave, this Blues team is so consistent.
It's funny. Top 10 in goals in the playoffs. 9 and 10. Mikko Rantanen, Nate McKinnon.
That's who it is, yeah.
Top 10 in points. Mikko Rantanen is 9th.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They haven't been playing in like 8 months.
But that goes to show you how much relying on one line or one group of players can really hurt you once you get deeper into the playoffs. We'll take a final break. We'll come back and preview tomorrow night. Everyone's ready for it. Amy and I are too. Let's talk about it as we wrap up Chili's Week in Hockey on KMOX.
Now, back to Chili's Week in Hockey on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Y98, Chris Kerber, Joe Vitale, 6:30 pregame skate. Chris Raby, myself, Amy Mark scores. We'll have you covered. Amy, we don't know if Erik Karlsson, Joe Pavelski, or Tomas Hertl are traveling with the team, which means we don't know if they'll be playing. We won't know until tomorrow if they even skate. You and I had a little differing opinion on that.
A little.
I personally think that could benefit San Jose without those guys.
No stinking way. That'd be like saying, oh, you know what? Even though Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, and Alex Pietrangelo are hurt, probably didn't even make the trip, I think this is good for the Blues.
What happened when Pavelski was hurt, not playing for the team? Oh, that's right. They won a series against the Colorado Avalanche. I forgot about that. Sorry. I forgot.
Yeah. Well, they had help.
Look, Karlsson's a defensive liability. Even if he's 100%, he's a defensive liability. So if you put a guy who can handle himself in the back end.
Okay, wait.
You're taking the load off of some of the guys who played 30-plus minutes the other night.
So you're telling me if I said, Alex, I will let the Blues play San Jose without Karlsson, without Pavelski, and without Hertl, or Alex, we can put all those guys back in the lineup.
You got to have stipulations.
Oh,
there's stipulations
keep them in the
with
lineup.
It. There's stipulations with it. These guys are 75%. The team is down 3-2. The team was just blown out the night before, shutout. You got to put stipulations with it. Come on, Mark scores.
No, I 100% leave them in San Jose. I want to face the Sharks without Karlsson, without Pavelski, without Hertl. I don't care if the Sharks send like their little cousins to play us. Just
their little cousins to play us.
I want the Blues to win. Gosh darn it. Wow. That's all I want. I don't care.
Fangirl much? Well, we'll figure out what they're going to have. I'll tell you what, though. Blues team going to be motivated. Enterprise Center is going to be rocking. Can't wait for this one to get underway. Will the Blues punch their ticket to their first Stanley Cup final since 1970? Or will they head back to San Jose for Game 7? We'll find out tomorrow night. Big thank you to all of our guests, Keith Tkachuk, Joe Vitale, and Judge Surratt. Big thank you to Alex Muskoff for all of his help today as well. Mark scores. We'll see you tomorrow night.
It's a heck of a day to be a Blues fan.
There you go. Let's take some Laura Branning as we close out Chili's Week in Hockey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.